came to church today.
What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Oh, y'all, too much.
Hey, while you're standing in Florida, let's welcome all of our campuses right now.
Let's go.
At Earth City, Sunset Hills, Ferguson Florissant, Weldon Spring, our online campus. You know, it's crazy. It was just this year will be 10 years ago we shared that kiss right there on that stage at Sunset Hills. And you signed a contract that promised you'd stay with me forever. Come on.
I did. You know what? It was the best decision of my life. My gosh, I forgot what I was supposed to say because I was busy looking at you.
Hey, have y'all been enjoying the relationship series so far, I Heart You series? It's been so much fun. If you actually miss any of it, or if you're joining us online and you haven't had a chance to catch up on the past messages for the past 3 weeks, pastors have some incredible content. You can catch it right there on the Faith Church app, so make sure to check that out.
Yeah, so we're wrapping out this series. If you haven't checked it out, like Morgan said, make sure to do so. But today we're going to talk a little bit, not just like marriage, but is it okay if we talk about dating, friendship? Anybody single in the house? I mean, you don't have to be like me, but like 60, we're like, yay, what's
single,
up?
Raise your hand. Raise your hand at all campuses if you're single. Now look around, okay? Look around.
This is not a dating app, okay? But I mean, raise it high. Be proud, okay?
Hey, the best place to find your spouse is in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
I think about Pastor Ryan and Amanda Potter at Ferguson Florissant. They met at our young adults group. So it is possible. God can do it in your life today.
Everybody's like looking up, where's the next group? When can I get there? Is she in young adults? No. But today we're going to talk through all stages of relationships, because no matter how you came into the room, maybe you're married, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're single and you've been praying for that loved one to come into your life. Maybe you've been dating and trying to figure out, like, is this the right person for my life? But I want you to know this, is we were created for relationships. Actually, in Genesis, it says this, 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. That's what God said for you and I.
And it's so great too, in that verse, what's funny is God is creating the whole world. He creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the animals. He creates man. And every time he says, it is good. But the first time that he looks and says, it is not good, is whenever he realizes man is alone. And it's not like God just had an epiphany and he's like, oh, wait a second, this isn't good. No, he strategically put that part in his word for us to know that we are designed for relationship, not to be alone.
Yeah. But in relationships, if you've ever been in a friendship dating, for sure if you're married, I'm telling you, relationships bring baggage. And many times we bring baggage into relationships. So this weekend, we just want to talk from a simple thought, if you're taking notes, called relational baggage. You know, recently we were traveling for a 3-day trip to St. Louis, and it's different, y'all. The weather, like, it just snowed like 4 inches in Missouri the other day. But when we were traveling, it was like 80 degrees here. We're leaving here trying to figure out how to pack and go, okay, it's like -2 degrees there. Like, that's a big gap. And so we're going, we're getting ready for a 3-day trip. I come downstairs, I got a backpack and a carry-on. And then Morgan comes down with this like really big suitcase. And I was like,
guilty.
We definitely packed different for where we're going. Maybe I had some bad expectations. I may or may not have forgotten a coat. Like, you definitely need one of those when you're going somewhere that's cold.
Do I have any people who over-prepare in the house today and online? Come on, help me out here. You got to pack for everything.
Wasn't me, okay? Your boy was like, we're going to, like, a sporting goods store. I'm going to need to buy a coat. And as we got there, though, I thought, isn't that a lot like relationships? We're all headed to a destination. We all want relationships, but we pack things or carry things differently along the way. My question to us today is, what are you carrying? What are you bringing along with you into the friendship, into the dating, into the marriage? Because we have to look at this baggage and say, hey, what do I have and what am I bringing to this thing?
Well, and one of the great questions we got during this series, we had asked several people, hey, what are some relationship questions at all the different campuses we asked? And one of the main questions we got was, what is baggage? Actually, we hear that a lot, but what does that actually mean? And so today, I think it's a perfect segue to talk about relational baggage, because baggage is the thing that you bring along with you into the relationship. And sometimes we have unintentionally packed things in our bag, in our relationship unintentionally, and then also looking at the intentional things that we can strategically pack in our relationship. So sometimes an example of baggage would be maybe jealousy or insecurity. Maybe you have low self-esteem because of what other people have done or the way they've treated you in the past. But also there's some positive things that you can strategically pack in your bag to bring into the relationship. So today we're going to unpack a few practical things. Pastor Austin and I, you see we have some bags here. We actually brought some things we're going to unpack today together.
Yeah, and it's going to be great. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The base text we're going to be talking out of is found in Genesis 37 through 50. It's really just unpacking. When I think about relational baggage, it's hard not to think of Joseph and his life. I'm talking, if you know his story, you're talking family drama, father drama, brother drama, sold. He had business drama. He had drama with his coworkers. He was in prison. He had someone come against him and lie and gossip. And if you have not connected yourself to this story yet, just wait, because there is so much more. But at the end of it, God did a special thing, and we'll unpack that, is what God is doing in your life. You can't stop where you are, because God has great plans ahead for you, no matter what the enemy has tried to derail you from. But Joseph, he was 17 years old. He was a dreamer. The Bible says that he was his father's favorite son. His dad had given him a special coat. Many of you maybe know the Bible story, the coat of many colors, to distinguish him as his favorite to his brothers. He was hated by his brothers, who were jealous of him, obviously for that reason. Then he was sold by his brothers into slavery into Egypt.
Man, talk about some family drama. You thought you had it bad. Let's go. I think first thing is let's let that be a lesson to all of us who are parents. Hey, favoritism is not the way to go. Favoritism is not the way to go. My mom, actually, I'm one of six kids, and we used to always try to trick her and trip her up and get her to admit which of us was actually her favorite. And she never fell for it. But here, as you see, Joseph was favored by his dad, and because of that, it caused some strife in his family. And the Bible actually talks about that in James 2:1. It says, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, you must not show favoritism. And whatever your family dynamic looks like today at all of our campuses, I want to encourage you. You may not have come from a good family, but a good family can come from you. It can start with you in this relationship process.
Yeah. And if you're like, hey, I don't know what that means, here's a couple practical steps. Some things we've learned along the way is find others that are doing what you want to have. Like, hey, I don't know how to be a good husband. Find somebody who's been married for a little bit, okay? The thing I'm probably not going to do is ask somebody who's never been married how to be married. I'm probably not going to ask somebody who's single how to date and how to be in a good relationship. So if we want to have better relationships, we need to get around people who have, or at least seem to have, a strong relationship. But can I tell you, you're going to find out that relationships take work. W-O-R-K. It's not a dream that's just going to happen. You have to work towards it. It makes me think of a few relationships like Lacey and Dondia Crump out at Weldon Spring. Come on, Weldon Spring, give it up for them. Helping lead and pour back into some of our young adults who are leading a group there. It makes me think about the Bowmans.
The Bowmans at Earth City, or the Summers at Earth City as well. These are couples, when you look at them, you're like, I want what they have. Yeah. So how do I get what they have? Well, get in their connect groups, get in those groups with them. I also think about Rob and Frieda Brown, who lead a connect group at Sunset Hills
campus. Sunset Hills, if you're there, you got to give it up for them. They just started leading a young adult group. And Rob is funny, by the way. If you've ever heard Pastor David talk about the guy who claps loudly at Sunset Hills, it's Rob. I love you, man.
We know you're clapping for us today. Come on. God's so good. I think when we talk about baggage, some things you have to unpack out of your bag. First, to address, we first have to assess what is actually in our bag. Yeah. And so three thoughts today just on unpacking is, number one, unpack the bag. Everyone say unpack it. And then sometimes you have to, number two, leave it. There's things that you unpack. How many of you have been on a trip, on a vacation, and you get home and you're just tired from your trip and you're not ready to do the laundry yet? You're not going to unpack the bag for a couple days. Anybody like me, you're like, I just need a break from my break, okay? Well, at some point, You have to unpack that bag. There are things in the bag you need, okay? And so you got to do the
laundry.
I feel
like she came at me there, okay? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, that's all me. So you have to unpack it. Number two, you have to leave it. And then you have to start fresh. And so some practical things that Pastor Austin and I today brought into our relationship are in our bags. And our first thing is a pair of running shoes, because when we first got together, I was really good at running away from my feelings, running away from conflict, running away from anything uncomfortable, running away from our problems. Any runners today online, in the relationship, in the house here, can y'all amen with me?
Her theme song was, keep running, running, and running, running. Woo, woo. I'm like, you coming back? Woo, woo. I'm just kidding.
So I don't want to feel all these uncomfortable feelings. But the thing is, conflict in relationships is going to happen. It's completely normal. I used to think, man, if we're fighting, like, this isn't good. Well, how many of you know fights are normal because we're all human in the house?
Yeah. Thinking about fights, I got something in here, because anybody who's been in a relationship knows that conflict is going to happen. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. You can't have just faith for a good relationship. You can't be the same you've always been and be in a good relationship. You always have to be growing. But as you grow, they have to grow. The way you fight has to grow, okay? The Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, anybody know? One sharpens another. So,
but
like, if we're going to have conflict.
When iron sharpens iron, sparks fly, too.
And some of them fly in our house, okay? It's got to be healthy, though. Like, friction is good. You get better. Have you ever seen something get sharpened? Like, we were cooking some food the other day, and I was like, man, this knife is dull. So I took a moment, and I sharpened it, and it had a quicker and better outcome. Many of us in our relationships, we want them to get better, but we're not willing to be sharpened. And when someone comes to sharpen us, especially our spouse, maybe a friend today, you're like, hey, I'm not married. Great. Who's that friend that's been telling you, yo, quit going back to him, okay? Like the sixth time, you know? Like, we all know it was really 10, but we'll say 6, okay? Like, and we can't also be that friend. We have to be the friend that fights fair. We have to be the friend that doesn't tell them what they're not. Like, when a friend is down, you can't be like, yeah, they're right, you're terrible. Like, you are, I don't even know what they saw in you. No, you got to be like, no, you got this. Get back up. We have to make sure when we put the gloves on, we fight fair.
That's so good. Well, I brought a little treat with me. Are you surprised that the pregnant lady brought snacks to church today? But, you know, Valentine's Day was recently, and one of the things I asked Pastor Austin to get me was a candy apple. And how many of you would like to share this? How many of you would enjoy a chocolate-dipped apple? Yes, they're so good. Well, little do you know, this apple is one too many days old. So actually, on this side, it looks really good, but after I cut into it, I realized, oh, this apple is spoiled on the inside. It is mushy. I waited way too long to eat it. I know, party foul on my part. But how many times in a relationship when we're dating and when we're looking for that person in our lives, they might look great on the inside, but how many of you know we need to get to know the person at their core? The core of who they are. Because when this apple is cut off from its source, over time, it becomes rotten. Wow. Time sometimes will cause people in life, you know, circumstances, life happens, but cause them to become bitter on the inside, cause people to become spoiled. And just like them, I think about myself. How many times, if I'm cut away from my source, if I've spent a few days not prioritizing my relationship with God and my prayer life, my attitude needs an adjustment. I start acting spoiled. My overall perspective can get a little bit grouchy on things. And then what happens is I'll find myself complaining about the very things that I used to pray for. Those things that I used to say, God, if you would just give me a husband one day. You know, I don't mean to throw you under the bus here, but the other day I was griping. We were in St. Louis, and I was griping because our son, Liam, he's 3 years old. He was sleeping in our bed, and he and Austin, for whatever reason, both started snoring all night. And I'm a very light sleeper. So all night, I did not get any sleep. And the next day, I was just griping to our friends, just having fun, poking fun.
I slept great.
I'm like, they are now like synchronized snoring, these two. It's 3-year-old and 30-year-old.
It's an art, okay? You wrote nothing down. Synchronized snoring. It's the new fad.
And the Lord totally checked me and was like, hey, remember when you used to pray for a husband? Remember when you used to pray that I would give you a baby? Well, I want to encourage you. This is what God spoke to my heart. Living the dream sometimes looks a lot different than dreaming the dream.
Wow, say that
you
again.
You dream the dream. Living the dream can look a lot different than dreaming the dream. In St. Louis, it's so cold last time we were there, and I was just griping because I'm like, I got to get gas, and it's 19 degrees outside. And God's like, do you remember when you used to pray for a reliable car to put gas in? I'm living the dream, but it looks a little bit different than dreaming the dream.
Yeah, and girl, when I look at that thing, I think about you, and you looking like a snack. Anyways, next thing. Bring it back, people. Who are they at the core, okay? That's what I meant. Like, she's beautiful on
people
the inside.
Are like, what's a snack?
This little guy right here is the next thing I got to pull out of my bag. Anybody like me, this thing can distract me. It can pull me out of moments. And a friend one time had to come to me. By the way, this is why you have to have good friends. Good friend told me, hey, Austin, you're present, but you're not present. Wow. Like, you're in the moment, but you're not in the moment. And I started making excuses. I'm like, but bro, I'm doing a lot in this season. I'm leading this and leading that and doing this and doing that. I mean, there are definitely times we have to have grace for things. But at the same time, I had to learn, and I'm still learning, a new rhythm to say, hey, I got to put the phone down. So a couple practical things, a friend, I asked, I'm like, what would you do? So we started, when we go on date nights, guess where my phone goes? It stays in the car. I'm still trying to stay at home, but it's at least making it in the car. Hey, your boy's getting there, okay? I'm 50% better. But at the same time, this little thing can not only distract me, it can ruin relationships. I've found that devices, laptops, this little thing can be powerful. It can multiply things. It can make you more productive, but it can also ruin relationships, because what we do in the dark will come to the light. And so maybe the thing we have to unpack is a growing self. We got to be careful, because if we're sick, we're only as sick as our secrets. And if we're not in connect groups, if we're not learning how to heal from the inside out, come on, somebody. Only through Christ can we be stronger. And I'm not pointing the finger out. We've all made mistakes. We all, the Bible says, have fallen short of the glory of God. But we have to make sure to unpack some of those unhealthy things and make sure, hey, once I address it, this thing is good. It can go back in the bag. But let's make sure we address the unhealthy things.
Okay, I brought my planner because I just love it when a plan comes together. Do I have any planners with me in the house? Come on. Well, how many of you heard this statement? It's my way or the... Right? Well, when we got into a relationship, I had to let go of my plan. I had to let go of the things that I wanted to control. Come on. I will admit, any control freaks in the house, you feel me? Come on, Weldon Spring. Come on, Ferguson Florissant. I know I'm not alone here, but I had to let go of my way. And even in my relationship with God, God, I want things to be this way. I wanted it to turn out like this. And God's will is greater. It says, man's make a way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And so God has a plan for you.
It's good. It makes me think about the phone and the planner for a moment. Is I used to say a quote that if it matters to me, it's on my calendar. And then one day Morgan asked me, she said, hey, am I on your calendar?
Got him.
I was like, hey, give me one second. By the way, I don't remember putting this in here. I have a 3-year-old, obviously.
Tell me you're a dad without telling me you're a dad.
But I think sometimes, again, just to talk about planning it, making sure the things that matter are on our calendar, that we are planning it. Then I think when we try to figure out, like, how do I do that? Prioritize it. Put it in front of you. Makes me think one time when we were in student ministry, we went to a football game. We had this kid in St. Louis, and he was incredible at football. Went to a game, celebrated him. He had the game-winning catch. And afterwards, I'm like, yo, you killed it. I was like, bro, your dad's here. And he's like, yeah, but he didn't see it. I'm like, yeah, he did. He's right there. He said, no, as soon as I made the catch, I looked up, and he was on his phone. And I said, hey, man, he's here. You know, I tried to cover for the dad, but afterwards I told Morgan, I said, hey, I don't want to make the same mistake. I want to learn from the mistakes that guy just made. And so for some of us, some of the things we're sharing with you today are things, one, we're still learning, okay? You're always growing. The best thing we can bring to a relationship is a growing self and a willing self. But the next thing is again, like we said earlier, you got to find people who have already learned through things. It makes me think of Shay and Abby Weeman out at the Weldon Spring campus. I was talking with Shay the other day. One of their companies just acquired a company here, and I was asking him what he's learned in their relationship. It makes me think about Steve and Felicia Johnson at Ferguson Florissant. Come on, can we give it up for the Johnsons? I'm still praying. I know Steve wants to move to Florida. Steve, I'm just saying, it is the Lord. The Lord didn't tell me that. My heart did, but you know, it might have been my flesh, but who's counting?
You know, as we talk about things we're unpacking, I think some of us, too, are guilty of never unpacking our bag in a relationship. You know, when you move into a house and you still have your boxes and it looks like, are you really moved in? Are you really committed to this house? Because you still have boxes that you haven't unpacked. And in relationships, because of things that have happened to us over life, our lifetime, sometimes we have our go bag and we're ready to go at any point, ready for anything to change, ready for, you know, that fight to escalate and, you know what, I'm out of here. It just reminds me of, you know, a lot of times in foster care with orphans and foster children, a lot of times they'll move into a new family, but they'll never actually unpack their bag. Because they're ready to go at any moment. They're ready for things to change at any moment. Yeah. And in healthy friendships, in healthy relationships, in healthy family dynamics, you have to be committed to that person and the ups and the downs, just like they're committed to you. So yeah. Be willing to unpack your bag.
Yeah, and these are just all relational baggage. And some of us are like, hey, I have a little bit of that. Hey, I need to get better at that. And that's okay. And it makes me want to get back to Joseph because now he's stripped of his identity, stuck in a totally new country, works for a captain of the guard, but God is still with him through it all.
Well, and you said he's stripped of his identity. You know, his brothers sell him into slavery, and he goes from being the favorite in his father's house, and because of what they've done to him, now he's a slave. And I just think about us in life so many times, how the enemy has tried to bring things along in our life and bring the wrong people along in our life to try to strip us of our identity, of who we really are at the core. And God said, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. He loves you. You are a child of him. You are a royal priesthood. So it's not about what they said about you. It's what he says about you. In Genesis 39, it's so funny because God's with him through everything. But then the guy he's working for, his wife looks at Joseph and she likes what she sees, okay? And all of a sudden she starts hitting on Joseph and she starts tempting him to sleep with her. And in Genesis 39:9, Joseph answers, he says, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. In verse 10, it says, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her and he kept out of her way as much as possible.
What? Why does this feel like the Real Housewives of Egypt?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like so much drama. We'll be back on the next episode of Real Housewives of Egypt.
Stay tuned. But he doesn't sleep with her, but he gets falsely accused anyway. And then Joseph gets thrown into prison for something he did not do. As he's in prison, he then finds favor. God puts his hand of favor on Joseph again. And so the jailer actually puts him in charge of the entire prison. He makes a couple of friends with a baker who got thrown in prison and then a cupbearer who is a guy basically who tastes the food and drinks the wine or drinks the drink before the king drinks it, because back then they would have a rotation of kings and pharaohs so often that they would be killed because of poisoning. And so this guy was like his gatekeeper to the king. And so the cupbearer and the baker, they have some dreams, and Joseph helps them out along the way. He interprets their dreams and tells them kind of what's coming for them. Well, the cupbearer gets reestablished back as in his position as the right hand to the king. And Joseph says, hey, when you go back, don't forget about me here. You know, Joseph, hi, JoJo over here in the slammer. Like, don't forget about me. And what does the cupbearer do? He forgets about Joseph. For 2 years, he forgets about him. Have you ever felt forgotten by a friend maybe in need? Man, when I needed you the most, y'all ghosted me. You forgot about me. Have you ever felt betrayed by somebody in a relationship before? Maybe trust was broken. And so today, I think we should just park and maybe unpack friendships for a few seconds.
Yeah, let's do it. So the other day we were driving our son Liam to school, and we started asking him something we're intentional on. Is just asking him about friendships. We're just like, hey, buddy, tell some of your, you know, friends at school. Like, what are you going to do today? He's like, oh, I can't wait to see Josiah. I was like, oh, yeah, who's that? He's like, my best friend.
I was like, I thought I was your best friend.
And then I'm like, you know, who else? He said, Arabella. I said, who's that? He said, my best friend. I look at Morgan, I'm like, who are these kids' names? I don't even know these kids. I said, who else, buddy? He said, Micah. Micah's my best friend.
Come on, let's give it up for Pastor Micah at Sunset Hills Campus. I bet he loved that.
Oh, yeah. And it just makes me think about it, though, is from the factory, from a young age, we long for relationships, but not just relationships, close relationships. And again, at the beginning, we said we are created for relationships. And seeing that happen, nobody has taught our three-year-old to want relationships to that level, to even say, oh, they're my best friend. Not just my friend, but my best friend. And I think in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. I want you to write this down. If you haven't written anything down, build friendships that can grow with you. Because if they can't grow with you, they can't go with you. So you tell me I have to change my friend circle? No. But if you said, man, that feels like the situation I'm in, maybe you need to assess, because we have friends for a season, friends for a reason, and friends for a lifetime. But not just that. If you do studies, studies say that we are the sum of the five closest people in our lives. So if you don't like what your life looks like right now, maybe we need to look at who are the closest people around us, because we will become what we're around.
That's so good. And true friends, they speak life into you and they speak well about you, especially when you're not in the room. It's not about what you say in front of me. It's about what you say about me when I'm not there. And I think it's important when we think about self-talk. You know, if you wouldn't say something negative about someone else, don't say it about yourself. A lot of times we have friends in our circles and we said, hey, don't talk about yourself like that. Hey, you're not allowed to speak that way over my friend who is you, okay, in this moment. And we don't allow our friend circle to gossip, and we don't allow them to talk negatively about others. Yeah. And actually in Proverbs 18, 7 and 8, it says, the mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of rumors, you know that's true. But true friends will challenge you to be better.
Yeah, that's good.
Because if it doesn't challenge you, then chances are it won't change you on the other side.
Yeah, I had a friend actually tell me the other day, he's like, man, it's crazy. When I start speaking bad about myself, all of a sudden others around me start speaking bad about me because I just gave them the keys to drive that car. And some of us, we wonder why people are saying things, but maybe it's because we're the ones who actually are leading them to start being able to do it. So what I want to encourage us is be what we want to see. Hey, if you want a good friend, be a good friend. If you want a good relationship, start bringing and being better in a relationship, in a friendship. I asked a friend the other day, I'm like, man, how do you have so many good friendships? He said, because I show up for the moments and I don't miss the big moments. I'm there. I'm faithful. When many would scatter, I'm there in the hard, the good. Like, I want to be there, because to get good friendship, I first want to be a good friend. So a good friend would do this. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing. Like, so they're going to encourage you to get in church. They're going to encourage you to not spend less time in church. They're going to say, do more time in church. Get in a connect group. You know, I had somebody who texted me this last Saturday or just yesterday. Hey, are you going to be at pickleball? And I'm like, no, I can't, because I'm preparing to talk with Morgan. But I had accountability from someone to say, hey, are you going to be at group? Or are we doing life together? And if you don't have people like that yet, you can, starting this week. You can jump into a connect group. You can go to Growth Track today. You can start being like some of these relationships and marriages that we mentioned earlier. It also makes me think about Greg and Darlene Crane at Sunset Hills. Like, we want to be what we want to see, but also we need to follow the steps of those who have already went ahead of us. Come on, can we give it up for great relationships in the church today? Those that have went ahead for a good example.
Come on, we see you at RPC as well. You know, and I think some practical things you can strategically bring into a relationship. One of the things early on is Pastor Austin and I decided we are going to celebrate, okay? Holidays, birthdays. Birthdays are a big deal. Let's find reasons to celebrate and have fun and celebrate each other, celebrate our friends, because true friends celebrate you. And you, as being a true friend, Pastor Austin said it, be what you want to see. You have to celebrate others. And you've probably heard the phrase, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Well, here we like to say, celebrate more and criticize less. It's so easy to criticize, but when you celebrate, you have to be intentional with that. And it reminds me of Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow and let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is even nearer. But we just decided early on we were going to celebrate those things like Valentine's Day, any little things. We knew, hey, we're going to celebrate and we're going to make it big. We're going to do it big. We're going to have fun.
Yeah, and I think you just have to remember, like, people want to be around people who are affirming, who celebrate. Like, don't just celebrate the big, celebrate the small. A friend once told us, like, celebration and affirmation cost you nothing, so overspend. Like, think about it. When's the last time you got on somebody's post on Facebook and instead of, like, just scrolling past it, you were like the emoji queen? Like, yo, yes, that's good. Come on, somebody. Like, I'll just go on somebody's post and I'll put like 5,000 different emojis and they're like, I saw you on the post. I'm like, yeah, I want you to know I thought it was good because it cost me nothing to tell you that. It cost me nothing to give you the little emoji hands and the celebration thing. Like, but we can't just do it on social media. You got to text somebody and be like, I'm proud of you. You're crushing it. Guess what? People will want to be around people who say, hey, you're doing better than you think.
Because what gets celebrated gets replicated.
Yeah, that's good. But some of us, we've had hurts in relationships, marriage, you name it. And, you know, in the last kind of like 5 to 8 minutes of this, like, boundaries are a tool, not a weapon, by the way. Many of us, we have boundaries, but the Bible says this. It says in Proverbs 4, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. It does not say wall it off. It doesn't say don't let anybody in. It says guard it. When I guard somebody, like in basketball, I'm going to guard you at a distance, but then I can let you in. It's really easy to do that. If we came and fight, I can keep you away, but I can also let you in. When we wall something up, it takes time to build it up, but guess what? It takes twice as long to tear it down. And so some of us today, I want to encourage you, what are those walls you need to tear down so that maybe that's the unpacking? You're like, I don't have anything in my bag. No, you've been functioning with it for so long. It actually is a wall you feel protected by. And now your boundary is not a tool for health. It's actually a weapon that's not just affecting relationships. It's affecting you. But if you ask God, God, do a work in me. God will do a work in you so that he can then do a work through you.
Well, and we're called to love everyone. So you have to maintain that level of love in your heart, but we're not called to trust everyone. So sometimes in relationships, you do have to love some people, but at a distance. You can't let them get too close, especially if that trust has been broken, because, you know, you've probably heard the phrase, trust is lost in buckets and it's earned in drops. So we're called to love everybody, but not trust everybody. Can I get an amen? So let's go back to Joseph. So 2 years later, Joseph is still in prison, and the Pharaoh, who is the king over Egypt, he starts having some wild dreams, and no one can interpret these dreams that he's having. Well, his friend, the cupbearer who forgot about him, suddenly remembers, oh, when I was in the slammer, I had a dream, and this guy interpreted it for me. So Joe gets called up out of prison to interpret the king's dream, and God uses him to save the entire nation of Egypt through 7 years of famine. And so now Joseph finds himself out of prison, second in command to Pharaoh, and not only that, but he's now helping the people who enslaved him and imprisoned him. So, wow, talk about humbling. In Genesis 41, it says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there's no one so discerning and so wise as you. So you will be in charge of all of my palace, and all of my people are to submit to your orders. Talk about an upgrade. Okay, you come from prison to now you're the boss of everybody else. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So in verse 41, it says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. In verse 49, it says, Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain. And this is, they had 7 years of plenty, and then now they're going into 7 years of famine. So Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping record because it was beyond measure. In verse 57, let's jump down. It says, and all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from who?
Joseph.
From Joseph. Because the famine was so severe everywhere. So Joseph, along the way, he's gifted with two sons. And then, just to fast forward, if you keep reading on your own time in Genesis, it's an amazing story, but God restored his entire family back to him. There's a powerful moment of forgiveness with him and his brothers. Joseph gets to see his father again. Remember, he was his father's favorite. He gets to see his father again. And then Joseph, because of everything he's gone through, he gets to bless his entire family with the best land in Egypt. So in Genesis 47:11, it says, so Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramses, as Pharaoh had directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers with all of his father's household with food according to the number of children. But where I want to park is right here, because Joseph had two sons, and the first son he named Manasseh. And in Genesis 41:51, it says, Joseph called the name of his firstborn son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship. And whatever you've walked through in your life, whatever hardship you've experienced, to wrap up, I just want to remind you that God not only appointed Joseph, but he brings him such great joy after everything that he walked through, that he forgets the pain of his past hardship. That's what Manasseh means. God has helped me forget. And then God actually restores Joseph, restores his family back to him, and then even more. And so in this year of our open door in 24, I want to encourage you, if God did it for Joseph, he can do it for you. The things you think that you have lost, God wants to restore in your life, restore those relationships, and go even above what you could ask, think, or imagine.
Yeah.
And so that's our prayer for you today, that you have a Manasseh moment in this year of the open door in 24, where it's so good what God brings into your life, those meaningful relationships, that you forget the hardship that you walked through.
And so what we want to do is cross every location today. If you would just bow your heads, we just want to pray for you. But before we do, we can see you every location today. God's there too. Just right here in the moment. Like dating, friendship, maybe in a season of singleness. By the way, it's a season. It's not going to last forever. Maybe you've been divorced twice, three times. You're hurting. You think you're in a prison of divorce. Like, look what Joseph, look what happened. You may feel like God is not hearing your prayers. You may have been forgotten. But then look what God did. He multiplied his blessing quickly, put him to a whole nother place. And I'm telling you, his life changed. This can be your Manasseh moment. And so I just want to ask you today, if you say, man, Pastor Austin, Pastor Morgan, would you just be praying for us this week? You know what? I want God to do something. I know I can bring a better me into the relationship, but I'm praying for God for some good friendships to show up in my marriage. If that's you today, would you just go ahead and lift your hand right here? Nobody's looking around. Come on, I see that hand.
Or maybe there's some things that you need to unpack that you've walked through in past hurt and past trauma. And today's the day you've decided you're going to unpack those things.
Yeah, I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you right now for each and every person at every location today online. God, maybe they're watching this back on YouTube. Maybe they're hearing the podcast today, God, that you are a God that is present in all seasons at all times. God, you said where two or more are gathered, that you are in the midst. So Holy Spirit, we ask you, help us know what to do on the inside. God, change our heart, change our mind to speak life-giving words, not only over others, but over ourselves. God, I pray for anyone that is single, praying for that person to come into their life. God, we believe that you're doing an open door in 24, that the right person, the right people are coming around them and into their life. God, I thank you for the person that's dating and wondering, like, is this the right relationship, God, that you will lead them and guide them, you will give them clarity, open all the right doors, and close the door if it is not the right door. God, I pray today for married people right now across every location, God, that if their marriage right now maybe feels a little rocky, God, we speak health back to marriages. We ask you to identify, make it so clear of the things that we need to work on, because as we get better, everything about us gets better, including our relationships. And God, we thank you today for every person that you're speaking to, God, that the things they're dealing with that maybe are beyond relationships, that you would open a door of opportunity for them this year in 2024, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you believe it's your Manasseh year, can somebody say amen? Come on, every location, can somebody say amen? Amen. And amen.